Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Productivity Talk Radio. Here is your host, Carol Dixon Carr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Productivity Talk, where I usually interview experts about their perspectives on productivity, business communication, and process improvement so that your business can increase your bottom-line profits. But today's going to have a little bit of a different format, and it really is an experiment. I am conducting the implementation experiment today, and like I mentioned on the promo video, I could probably talk about this for an hour all by myself, but I would rather not do that, and so that's why I invited people to join me live if they could, and I know that we've got a couple people here so far. I know that Lena is here. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Carol.
Cool. All right, well, and we've also got Jen in the chat room, so I don't know if Jen is on the line, but I know she's in the chat room as well. So what I wanted to do at first is kind of tell you what the motivation was behind all of this. I think in the past, I think my biggest obstacle whenever times got a little weird about, people will tell me to play bigger, step up my game, that kind of thing. I always felt that I didn't have enough knowledge or know-how to pull it off, despite that I'm an information junkie, that I read 6 books at a time. I kept getting trapped in this analysis paralysis thing. And there were, and probably still are, some beliefs in my subconscious, that I might not even be aware of that conflicted with what I knew I wanted on the conscious level, especially, like I said, each time I stepped it up and played an even bigger game. And like I say, it's kind of interesting. You want an answer from the universe. When the roadblocks come during these bigger games, you usually get the answers. When the student is ready, they say, the teacher appears. So I think that saying still seems to hold true. Would you agree with that, Lena?
To have something happen, we're not going to see it even if it's just in front of us.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, because I know you're a big law of attraction practicer and enthusiast, so very nice. I'm happy that you're here. Awesome, very nice. So once I realized that the really, really successful people, and I mean by anyone's definition, make more mistakes than unsuccessful people, then I just figured, okay, it's time to start stumbling and course correcting, and I stumbled, and I still do. And so it's just, since it's just us chicks, and we'll see if anybody puts anything into the chat room. I think we've got Jen, and we've got a guest that, if the guest wants to identify who they are, that would be great. But I just wanted to know if anybody else kind of has some resonance with that, going forward anyway, even if you think you might fall on your face along the way.
Oh, gosh. Carol, this is Lena, and I have to say that, yeah, I've definitely fallen into that a lot.
Yeah, it's like, you get up, and I'm always on Twitter, I'm always putting these tweets up, so they can motivate me, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I wish I was the guru. I'm not the guru. I know a lot, and I know how to implement that kind of thing. And so I just keep going, It's all perfect, as they say. And Jen in the chat room says, absolutely. It makes me realize that mistakes are okay. Good deal. All right. So, yeah, there are often pretty big obstacles. The one critical thing that holds us back from really going for it when we want to play bigger, and sometimes even if you want to just play, period. And I think one of the biggest for me, and it took a while for me to figure out because my conscious mind was on board, but apparently my subconscious mind wasn't. I remember reading Robert Kiyosaki's books, I want to say it was like 2003 or 2004 or something like that, and I realized my paradigm was totally accustomed to the industrial age way of thinking, the whole employee situation where, you've got that quote-unquote guaranteed paycheck, and I was comfortable there. I had my benefits and my retirement, and when I read that book and it hit me to the information age where the paradigms were all wealthy, the wealthy people have a different framework, they've got the business model, not the employee model. And so I said, okay, I got to get on the path to financial freedom. Me being an employee was not going to do it for me. So And I never really wanted to retire because I wanted to make sure I was doing something that I loved. So the whole idea of retiring at 65, I'm like, if I like what I'm doing, if my brain is working, I want to keep on doing it. And so how do you guys feel about that?
I have to agree with that. I know that I have some huge shifts with that as well, reading Kiyosaki as well as Michael Gerber with the E-Myth, and you know, just realizing about putting systems into place and not having that employee mentality. And I have to say that I'm at a point where I can't even imagine ever going back to the employee
aspects
of life.
I hear you. And, I mean, I do teach part-time at Southern Methodist University, but my boss says hi and bye, and I have complete autonomy, and I get, and it's like my community service because it's not even, they don't even pay you much. You know, it's like $5,000 a class, you know, and I teach two classes, so it's not like, it's more like my community service than anything else, and I just love, you know, connecting with young people and being kind of a role model for that so they can see what's possible. But that's to the extent to that I am a W-2, and I'm a contract employee, so I don't get benefits anyway. So you might as well say, I mean, I got the office and that kind of thing, but that's the extent of me being a W-2. Go ahead.
And I'll occasionally go ahead and pick up something here and there, but it's just because it's fun.
Exactly.
It's, you know, if I have the mentality that it's something that's like a job, I don't want to do it because to me a job isn't fun, but just doing things that I enjoy and helping people is great.
Exactly.
And I think that's a huge shift in mentality as well that, you know, a lot of people are making.
Very nice. All right. Let me see who else is in the chat room. We've got Eagle Flight. I'm not sure what it's a handle, but I wanted to welcome you in. Thank you. Thank you for coming in and joining the party. So now we've got about four of us hanging out either in the chat or online. So what I wanted to do is get kind of a discussion, and we might just have you and me talking, Lena, and then I'll just keep monitoring the chat to make sure that I'm not missing out on anything. But when we got into the business building mode, I thought it was really important to identify what we are really afraid of and just kind of hate to use the word tackle, but I don't know a better word, but tackling that fear head on. Would you say that it was easier for you to identify what your fears were before, and then just like, you know, as the cliche goes, feeling the fear and doing it anyway?
Actually, for me, I think it was a little bit more of the opposite because I went in head first without the fear, and then the fear hit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I just had, you know, complete open trust and then all of a sudden went into the fear and, you know, hit a standstill.
Ah, okay.
I had to deal with stuff.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
I know that for a lot of people it is that case where, it's, you know, there's a fear that you have to deal with first to get through it.
Mm-hmm. So you did the ready, fire, aim thing.
Yeah, which is not normal for me because I'm normally one of those analysis paralysis people as well.
Well, yeah, that is like my middle name. And sometimes I get like that still, even 5 years later, and I have to, you know, tap into that support system and get the kick in the butt that I need to keep going. I'm kind of going through it now, so that's part of it. I'm like, oh, gosh, no way. You don't want me to do that, do you? Okay, fine. Okay, all right. You know, and a lot of times, and that gets into the support system about, you know, having people to support you as you go along really makes a big difference. Now, what about those subconscious fears? Any of those kind of reveal themselves as you keep, you know, the self-sabotage that comes up and you see a little bit of success and then for some reason, and maybe I'm projecting, but I know sometimes when I get overwhelmed and especially, you know, about 2 or 3 years ago, probably about 2005-ish, well, I just got onslaughted and I was like, all right, maybe I'm charging too little and I stopped marketing and then the people went away and so I'm like, okay, I'm afraid of getting overwhelmed. I didn't realize that that's what was going to happen. So that's actually my own story. How about you, Lena, and anybody in the chat room who would like to talk about or share what their experiences have been?
Oh, I definitely went through a lot of, you know, clearing out a lot of subconscious fears, and that's what I tend to work with people a lot, too, is shifting that stuff and working on that to change it. And for me, it would just always come up with because – you know, I grew up with the beliefs of, oh, you have to have a job, you have to go to school, you have to get the job, you have to do it, you know, and it has to be that specific way. And also grew up in poverty. And so having to shift that, and I just had this all of this huge subconscious thing back there that was just blocking me from making money. And just having to work through that stuff was huge.
Well, I can only imagine. And so now you're living your life's work. And just, 'cause I remember when we met about 3 years ago and we did the Mastering Life game, and it was a jolly good time there. And you're still running those programs, right?
Yeah, I'm still running those programs and just working even deeper with it and doing things and leading law attraction groups and just getting involved in more and more and just having a blast with it.
Very cool. Why don't you plug yourself? You can do that. Since you're playing the game, I want you to just go ahead and so the people who are listening to the archives can also know what you do as well. Just shout out what you do and what your URL is so people can find out more about you.
All right, great. My URL is masteringlifesgame.com. And what I do is I'm a success coach and mind trainer. And what I do is I work with people to go ahead and define their own definition of success, what success means to them, as well as give themselves permission to attain that. Because a lot of times, even though we define it, we don't give ourselves the permission to have it. And then I work with them using different mind technologies like NLP and hypnosis and things like that to help them retrain their brain and their subconscious to think that, you know, have those beliefs that support them as opposed to beliefs that don't.
Very nice. I might have to bring you on the show in a more formal capacity and talk to you more about that. I'm putting you on the spot on the air there, but I think it might be kind of a cool thing to talk about for 30 minutes or so.
Can offer you anything.
All right, and it'll be for you too, because you'll get some exposure also.
Yeah. I'd love to do that.
Cool. All right, so moving on to another question. Knowing how to, well, maybe more of a statement, knowing how to find a good support system really goes a long way for me. And so what I'd like to know is how would you look at, what would you call a good support system in your opinion? And in those of you in the chat room, feel free to share what you think a good support system looks like for you. And then, of course, I'll share my ideas too.
Lena, for me, having a good support system means having people that are surrounding me that I can go to that if I'm feeling those doubts, that they can help me look at the positive and not look at the negative. And, you know, some people who can be objective, who can, you know, who I can go to with an issue and say, hey, this is, you know, can I get some help from you on some brainstorming and things like that, because I think that's another thing is solopreneurs, people who are working alone, a lot of times we don't have those other people to go to bounce ideas off of. So building systems, you know, having groups of people around that you can bounce things off of is huge for me. And just other things like making sure my environment is good. That's one of the hugest support systems for me is just my environment and making sure that I'm in a place that I feel peaceful.
Exactly. Awesome. Right. The environment plays such a big role. I noticed when my daughter has a school day of the teachers are off and I didn't plan for it because, I mean, I think, you know, I like the flexibility, but I want to be fully present in what I'm doing. And if Maya is around and I feel like I have divided loyalties, my productivity isn't what it could be. So, I hear you right there on the environment. Even the physical environment, you want to make sure your technology and all that good stuff is working for you. And yeah, and like I said, my coaches and mentors, my colleagues, you included. If it weren't for you guys, I'd probably would have given up as quickly as I started back in 2003. I'm thinking, I remember when I thought, you know, this is 2003 when I said, okay, I'm going to give a stress management workshop. And I was out, went to my, you know, local, you know, networking meetings and had flyers and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't doing much online marketing yet. I didn't really start doing that until like 04. And people claimed that they would come, and I got everything set up with the hotel and everything. And I didn't get any, you know, I didn't get any sign-ups. And so the hotel folks were very, very gracious because I was, you know, I thought I was going to have to pay that deposit, and they're like, nope, it was the Hampton Inn, so I would definitely recommend if you're going to give an event, they are so easy to work with. So,
yeah, I've heard that. So that is good to hear again from someone else because as I look for more and more venues, it's always nice to know.
Exactly. So, I mean, I was so hurt. I was really hurt. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm just going to hang it up as quickly as I think. Nobody, you know, people claimed that they were going to sign up. And I didn't get a coach until 2004, too. So I was trying to go by my book learning when you really got to get in there. And so I said, okay, I need to, you know, first of all, you know, a few months later, I got a coach and then – then I started, you know, masterminding with people online. Oh, God, I tell you, the online environment, and shoot, now with social media, oh, my gosh, it's that on steroids. Before, it was bulletin boards that I would hang out at, especially Barbara Scherer's forum, because I really resonate with her so much. Oh, it looks like we've got some stuff in the chat room. Hold on a sec here. So Jen is saying that a good support system equals people who have similar professional and personal success thoughts and people who lift you up but aren't yes women. Yeah, all right. Okay, all right. So, oh, and it looks like Joselina is having a hard time getting in, so that's too bad. Huh, that's really strange. I was going to tell him to use this number, but he can't hear me, so let me type that. I'm going to have to multicast just a little bit. First, let me ask a question so that... And I'll come back to the support system in just a second, but in terms of multitasking, my brain doesn't work that well. Let me start working now. And I already know what your answer is going to be to this, but I would love to hear what other people have people had kind of conversations about lack of time stopping you in your tracks. And I already know how you feel about time and even the whole misnomer of it, but the whole idea of not having enough time. What are your thoughts on that, Lena? And I'm going to do a little multitasking and put the phone number in there for Joselina to just dial into the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and share.
I went ahead and shifted my whole view on time when I went from being a multitasking queen to realizing that multitasking just really wasn't worth it for me.
And how ironic is that, huh?
I mean, there's times where you have to do a little bit here and there, but really the ability to focus on something at once and get all your energy to it and be fully present with it was far more important. And so how I tend to structure my day is looking at time in terms of, you know, time is linear, we only have so much, and you can only get so much done. So if you manage your energy more and you know what you do well at certain times and when you're most effective doing different tasks and you do those things, you seem to glide through it. And if you're in the flow and you're really connected to what you're doing and if you're really present, even though it may be a short period of time, it seems like you have all the time in the world to get it completed.
Yeah, multitasking is the only time I think multitasking works for me is if I'm listening to something on my iPod and ironing, you know, or gardening, or washing my car, something that doesn't require the same brain cells, you know. So if I'm listening to the iPod, yeah, so I'm learning and I'm washing the dishes, you know, you know, or ironing, or whatever. So, but other than that, oh, good. It sounds like we got another. Is that you, Joselina?
That is me.
All right, welcome. We're going to have him on the show next week, actually. He'll be talking about how he uses social media. Welcome. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Blog Talk Radio number. That's weird that it was busy. So what we've been talking about...
Oh, yeah, and then you put the number in the paragraph. Sorry, I'm sort of just used to just clicking and playing. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I'm glad I have this backup plan, too. So it's cool. It's all good. All right. So we had somebody in here, and then we lost somebody, and I didn't get a chance to say hi to them. That's too bad. All right, so Lena just shared some really great ideas on how she deals with, quote-unquote, the time issue. And we've been talking about things that sometimes hold us back so far. It's been kind of the fear situation or maybe lack of a good support system. And now I want to get back to the support system, especially as you get bigger. It's easy to be kind of the lone ranger in the beginning, do your own books. I don't want to do that. I did my own taxes once as an S corporation, and I said never again. I was like, you know, even I'm a numbers person, and I was like, never mind. I am never going to do my own taxes ever again after that. So I had to leave that to the experts because, you know, my hourly wage was getting lower and lower and lower as I was as I was working on that. So having a good, whether it's virtual or local, I find is very important. In addition to having good mentors and coaches and a good, you know, mastermind, colleagues that you can bounce ideas off of, a virtual assistant, if not somebody local, even somebody to do your cleaning if you're not inclined to do it. Me, I you know, it's kind of therapeutic. Like I mentioned before, I do the, you know, listening to my iPod, listening to, of course, a lot of personal development or business building things while I'm, you know, folding laundry. So it's kind of, that's kind of meditative for me. But not everybody likes to do that. So if you don't like to do that, then you can find that out, because I bet you're worth more than $10 an hour. I'm sure. At least the two of you I know are, and I'm sure the folks in the chat room are probably feeling the same way. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And Carol, I just want to add that that's also a really great way to reframe it. So if somebody's having trouble with putting the energy towards doing the regular responsibility things that they do, realizing that they can multitask in that type of, you know, in that type of situation, could definitely get somebody to look at it in a different light.
Exactly, exactly. Because I always feel like I'm always on my every minute. Has to count for me, even my minutes of meditation. Everything, I don't really believe in the whole idea of wasting time, and it kind of brings me back to the whole energy system. Have either of you and those of you in the chat room heard of the book called The Power of Full Engagement?
I've heard of it. I haven't read it yet, though.
Oh, it's an awesome book. And it looks at your, instead of looking at managing time, you're managing energy in different areas like your mental, your physical, your spiritual, mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional. And so all of those things work together. And so if you're physically tired, that's going to spill into your mental and you won't be able to focus. And so if you think you don't have time to exercise, be surprised. Don't be surprised that you'll feel a lot. Do the both of you exercise? And I'm asking out in the chat, too, if any of you have heard of that book. The Power of Full Engagement. Last name is Schwartz and two authors, Schwartz and Lohr. I'll just have to type it up when I get a free hand here. But my technology.
I'll go ahead and take care of that.
Thank
for you.
You can even do an Amazon.com if you like. Yeah, it's like my technology situation is a challenge. So I'm on two different phones because my phone was not working. I was supposed to patch it in, and so now I've got my cell phone and my landline on two different lines. It's a party. But
The Power of Full Engagement
is
by Jim Lohr and Tony Schwartz.
Lohr.
And Jim is his first name, and Tony Schwartz.
Oh, good.
Schwartz.
Thank you, and thank you for putting that in the chat room, too. Hopefully, I appreciate that. Awesome. I live that book because I have to, even if I think I don't have time to exercise, and plus it's just good for you anyway, I mean, I always get more ideas. If I'm feeling stuck and I'm focused, I will exercise, and that'll help my mental, and even if I'm in a bad mood, it'll help my mental. So I think a lot of that whole physical stuff ties into it, and you have to get your rest and recovery in there, too. You can't keep going like the Energizer Bunny and expect not to burn out or get sick. So they all tie in together. So if you're managing your energy, then the time really is irrelevant. You're just going to get a lot more done. If you're not hanging around crazy people, like Julia Cameron calls them crazy makers, you don't want those negative people saying that you can't, or like we were talking about earlier, those people, if you've got the Robert Kiyosaki information age paradigm and you've got all the naysayers telling you, no, you need to go back to work full time. And sometimes, you know, I would get that, and it was just a little hard to, you know, you almost have to love those folks from afar. How about the rest of you? Any of you have had some, because I know all of you are business people or entrepreneurs. Any naysayers in your life that try and zap your energy that way? Maybe not now, but in the past?
This is Lena. I've definitely had plenty of them in my life and still do. And I've just found that what I do is I go ahead and I hold fast to what my beliefs are, and I allow people to be who they are and tell them, you know, just appreciate them for who they are and let them be in their space, and I'm in my space, and pretty soon you find that I have found that they tend to go away a little bit more. You know, they just kind of fall off, and you go off and do your own thing, and you start attracting different people into your life who are more supportive.
Exactly.
Or who do have the same mindset. And for the people who are still there that are just going to be there, like, you know, relatives, I just make a choice as to one of the people that I've done some studying with, I believe it was Marshall Silver, had said that he tends to spend quantity time with quality people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that philosophy. So the quality of the people, of the messages that they're going to get, and of the talk that you're going to have with them really dictates how much time I'm going to go ahead and choose to spend with them. So so I may not choose, I may not spend as much time with the naysayers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so in face-to-face, I don't, you know, sometimes I'll feel, because I'm part of, you know, different online groups and that I've known for, you know, a long time, like over a decade. If she starts spouting off again about how millionaires are evil, I just, like, tune her out. Like, come on now, you need to do some more research, babe. And I said, if you're going to go there, please make sure I'm not in the virtual room when you go there. Otherwise, we just really, I'll have to block your IP, you know? I mean, really, though, it's up, there are a few that are just hanging on, just saying that money equals, you can do a whole nother, class on the whole idea with your relationship with money, and that's actually one of those things that I might talk about before we're done, that your beliefs about money can really hold you back, too, and we could probably talk about 6 weeks on how those beliefs look, but she has and if you'd see what her issues are, you would see that she is upside down on everything and behind on her bills, but rich people are evil and irresponsible. So that was just a soapbox that I had to get off my chest. All right. So let's see if there's anything in the chat room nothing new. Jen had to leave. She had to go pick up her daughter. I'm glad she was able to join us. I appreciate that. All right, so let's move on to any other comments before we move on from energy and time to the next question or the next subject.
Carol, this is Jose Lee.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
I wanted to ask if you're familiar with the Colby A index at all?
Oh, the Colby. I took it once. It's been a while, so I don't remember all the... I thought it was a cool test, but I don't know as much about that as the other assessments I use. Is that what you use?
Yeah, and what's different about Colby in comparison is that it measures what you are designed... how you approach an issue. It's cognitive.
Right.
Like an emotional thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I bring that up is because everyone has 100% of cognitive energy,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we exhaust some of that energy doing things that we're not suited to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole analogy with Stephen Covey about putting the rocks in the jar where the best approach is to put the biggest rocks first and then put in the smaller pebbles and things like that because you get to fit more things in.
Mm-hmm.
So going what you were saying about everyone has basically 24 hours, right? So how do you best leverage your own methodology to maximize your own production versus going by a time base or, you know, using other forms of traditional time management?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I like the way that Colby puts in a pyramid of energy
mm-hmm.
based on the results of the exam. It says, you know, this percentage for me, 33% is quick start, which means I target the future.
Mm-hmm.
So if I start off with doing something like that at the beginning of the day, I have energy and momentum that lets me do other things as opposed to starting off something that could be draining for me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So for me, that's what I've been really getting and tapping into. How am I built versus someone else's methodology on how they're built? Or, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I thought I would throw that out there.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, because actually I did take that test a while back. I don't remember the whole details. I've been such a Myers-Briggs head. So I'll need to go back and look at those results now that you're mentioning it. And you know what it reminds me of also when you talked about energies, what you're suited to is, and I'm pretty sure Lena's heard of this, is the Now Discover Your Strengths by Donald Clifton, Marcus Buckingham. Is that right?
Yeah, and I was actually, Marcus Buckingham, and I was actually thinking about that too, how those would be a really neat thing to do in conjunction with us one another, to go ahead and work on your strengths, you know, take your strengths finder assessment to see what your strengths are, and then using the Colby to go ahead and find out about the, you know, how you approach things in that manner, in an energetic manner. If you could fuse the two of those, I would just imagine that you would just have the most amazing results.
I can
right.
only imagine. Exactly. Wow. Wow. I mean, I think assessments are so important. Like I said, that's a whole other show, too. and in conjunction. I know, and I say, like I said, Myers-Briggs isn't the only game in town, and I am a really big fan of those other ones that you guys are talking about. I'm just not an expert in them as I am with the Myers-Briggs, and so I'm in an assessment file, P-H-I-L-E, so anything you put in front of me, I'll take, and I don't diss other assessments, but like I said, I'm actually an expert and a certified to administer the MBTI, so I could talk about that with authority. That's the only reason why I go on and on about that. I don't think anyone's any better. They all serve different purposes. But, yeah, the Donald Clifton book, and Mark, that's a great, and I found out input and learner is my top two, the learner thing. And so that ties back to what I was saying earlier about the whole analysis paralysis. Must read more books before moving forward. And that doesn't serve me. And so then we go to the support system. Carol, no more school. Just go. I remember Michael Port telling me that 3 years ago. Carol, no more school for you. Okay. All right. I'll keep learning, but I'll do at the same time. How about that? Will that work? Because it's not who I am not to learn, but I'll keep doing. I won't stop doing to sacrifice, you know. So it's kind of interesting how all these things work together. We talked about fears. We talked about support systems. We talked about time and energy, and we've talked about our strengths. And you see how synergistic this is so far, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and you guys are both really bright, sharp people, so it's really cool that you guys are on the line contributing. I said, well, I could go on and on by myself, but I'm hoping that the village will show up and work it all out. And you guys, I couldn't ask for, cooler people, so I appreciate it. And we've got a couple of people in the chat room, too. I just haven't seen a lot of activity since. That's okay. Let's move on to maybe if it's not true now, the whole belief system thing. Because like I said, it can serve you or it won't. And I have to say, and I did a promo video on this. I've been on both sides of the coin. And I've had some really goofy conversations with myself, even recently. But the push through and do situation keeps me going. And I'm still motivated even on days that I sometimes don't feel inspired because something happened where I thought might play out and then they don't, or somebody, you know, backs out and wants to deposit their deposit back because they can't do something, and it was a big hefty deposit, and I was like, oh man, my contract wasn't stipulated good enough. So it was like, call these things learning opportunities. But my question is, even if it's not true now, have you ever come across a situation where maybe your negative self-talk or maybe upbringing or any emotional blind spots get in the way for you to really go for it? And if not now, maybe 10 years ago, I don't know. But, you know, I can be completely transparent about that one, but would love to hear from either of you.
Oh, I don't mind being transparent about that either, because that's exactly, you know, how I got where I am now is by getting rid of some of those old beliefs and really switching out the non-supportive ones and going for things that, you know, deciding what really was going to work for me. And switching over to that, I have had beliefs that held me back from, in relationships and finances and, you know, in jobs and in interactions and everything. And it's just such a powerful thing to really start to recognize and see, okay, well, you know, we've had this training, we've had this vibrational training of where we want to be and what are the beliefs that we've been fed our entire life. And a belief is nothing more than a thought that you continue to think.
Mm-hmm.
And that you continue to think, and then you decide to take on. And so then, you know, just taking that and having that aspect and looking at it and saying, well, if I see that this thought and this belief isn't working for me, it's like I take a step back and sometimes and just say, so how is this working for me? Is it working? And if it's not, saying, so what would work better? And look at it from that aspect and start writing the new story. It's like we spend so much time telling stories that just perpetuate those old beliefs. And if we tell the new stories instead of with the beliefs that we want to have, then we'll start to take those on because those are the thoughts that we keep thinking instead.
Right. The thoughts are themes philosophy. And you know, when the movie The Secret came out, I'm like, it ain't a secret. This stuff's been around forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is nothing new. So, exactly. I just was reminded of that. And it's like, oh, that woman's making a whole lot of money over something that's already been kind of true from the get-go. Good on her for capitalism, I guess.
And
yeah.
You know what? But nobody learned. But the thing is that she learned how to market it.
Exactly. Good on her.
Well, here's the thing, right, with that whole concept is that there's two fundamental things. One is common sense, which is what the secret essentially is, like, to a certain degree, common sense. And then there's common practice, and that's a big issue that a lot of people know all these things, but they don't practice it.
Right.
So then I'm going to pause that train of thought and go back to the whole concept of, like, belief, right?
Okay.
For me personally, it was a cultural thing that children didn't speak until the parent acknowledged them, right? So I had that going on in the household so that I was mentally trained, sometimes being almost like, as a child, that's what you know, right? So when I went to school, I didn't realize how smart I was. But I was forced to because, comparatively speaking, I would do very well without necessarily working hard, right? Like, I didn't think it was hard. It was just so easy for me in retrospect. So I was like, wait, how could they be telling me this? And when I interact with other people, it's not that, right? So then I got my encouragement because I realized the more I spoke to other people, the smarter I was. And it was just a blessing to me, right? But there's still the psychology of, let's say, the ugly duckling theorem, right? Where it's just like when this ugly duckling always thinks that they're an ugly duckling, although they're a swan, they still have the mentality of being the ugly duckling type of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly.
So
I think
a lot of people would be more successful if they would have more encouragement around them, and it goes back to what you spoke about before regarding surrounding yourself with people that give you the positive energy, which, again, is something that translates into the secret. And more importantly, if you've seen the movie What the Bleep,
which for me
resonated, because what it highlighted is that internally our DNA and our chemistry changes based on our experiences, right? So that if we train or if we get negative experiences, a bunch of them lined up, our brain rewires itself according to that negative experience. So that's why we have to continuously to change. We have to continuously do positive things to reinforce and to overcome all the negative experiences or negative even thoughts that we have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it all ties in together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with the exams that we've mentioned earlier, having a true assessment of who you are is very important, because a lot of people try to compare themselves to other people and they're comparing apples with oranges, but sometimes we just don't know what we're good at, right? So then we feel discouraged because we don't fit into what's around us when we don't necessarily need to, you know? Does that make sense?
Oh, perfect sense. Yeah, a lot of things I was thinking about as I was coming up, and a lot of the things that held me back from writing articles and marketing myself is that, you know, I was always the oddball child. They were like, does anybody tell you you're a little off, Carol? You're just a little strange, you know? You know, it took me, I don't know, I was 26 before I finally got a self-esteem that I could be proud of, you know? It's like, oh, man, so I'm going to be found out. Now I'm like, I'm the queen of transparency, and so, yeah, I know I'm not like most people, and it's okay to not be like most people. Even now, people say, you know, you're not like anybody I've ever known, and I don't even know how to take that half the time because of my filters from back in the day. So I think that's another reason why, going back to the support system, it's just kind of neat to have the coaches and mentors who believe in me sometimes more than I believe in me. Because some of that old stuff comes back, and I just need that encouragement. I won't even lie. And I know intellectually that I'm a smart woman. I've got a lot of talents. But if the weird overweight girl who got made fun of, you know, comes out to play, even, you know, at my 41 years, I'm like, ooh, the teenager's back. I'm not happy. So, yeah, my inner teenager comes out to play a lot of times when I'm stressed and I have to, you know, use my tools, the meditation. I use a number of things that people might find a little strange, like EFT, but it works for me, and it doesn't hurt anybody else. So that's the win-win. If the household doesn't have, you know, psycho weirdo Carol in the house, and mom's happy, his baby's happy, the husband's happy, you know, all is good. Like they said, mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody gonna be happy. So That's how I look at it. All right. So let's see here. I'm marked an hour, but I'm almost done with the list of questions that I was going to talk about. Resiliency. Let's look at resiliency. The whole idea of recovering when life keeps throwing you these curveballs. How have you guys coped with that as we move along in that journey, that business building journey?
I'm gonna go ahead first, though.
Sure, if you'd like to go right ahead.
For me, it became part of the whole concept that I mentioned regarding what the bleep.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point where it's not the situation; it's actually how I looked at the situation. And sometimes I remember when I was in corporate, and it seemed, and I used to do. I was in IT, and I used to do all the software installations, and, I was, one of the, those nerds, right, that just installed the software and, knew everything about all the software and things like that. And there came a stint for me during that time period where it seemed like I got the worst-case scenarios. And back then, the Internet wasn't there, so I had to walk around with these disks with all the software and all this other stuff. So when you didn't pack appropriately, then you had to walk around all over the building. But then there came a point where things just switched, where it's like, wow, all those what I would have considered negative experiences were actually my best ally, because now every single situation became a positive one because I had so much experience working through the worst case scenario. So in certain respects, it was like a boot camp of things that I had to go through, and it really sharpened my skills. And right now, even I look at situations as what's the lesson to be learned, right? And sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's like, wow, this is really deep. But then there are then I think there are people in worse situations, so let's slap out of it and, keep moving forward. So I think for me, from that perspective, is when things go bad, when they do, because it's inevitable, what is the lesson to be learned, and what do I need to do? Like, where is the positive? And it's just instinctive now because it has become a habit. That's for me.
Very nice. Very nice. Thanks, Joseline. And what about you, Lena?
Well, with me, it was, it was a lot of the same. It's looking at, what is the perspective? Because the only thing that we can truly control is the way that we look at something.
Mm-hmm. How we respond.
What we perceive of something. And also going back to what was said earlier about practices. Whether or not you're practicing things. You may have the knowledge, but are you doing things? So for me, I had gotten to a point where I recognized that the most important thing for me to do was to keep my mental environment straight and to keep that at the top of its game. So what did I need to do that? And started incorporating practices like, making sure I was meditating daily,
mm-hmm.
or, listening to positive things and so on to keep me, to keep me sharp and to keep me in a positive aspect. And then, what the bleep is very incredibly powerful,
mm-hmm.
as we talk about the neural system. And, when you think about neuroplasticity and how your nerves can change and you do create, new neural pathways with your thoughts. And then you look at the fact that I'm a big fan of Abraham Hicks
mm-hmm.
and their works. And when I'm teaching Law of Attraction, I lead a monthly group where we discuss a lot of the Abraham Hicks works. And their take on it is that everything is just contrast. Anything that happens that you might deem as negative or painful or hard or a challenge or whatever, it's just contrast that comes up in your life. And the contrast is there to allow you to expand. And the contrast is there to allow you to launch a rocket of desire of what is it that you truly want.
Mm-hmm.
And taking that perspective, that has really helped me a lot, personally, in looking at something and saying, stop in the middle of something and say, okay, this isn't going exactly how I want to. What's going on here and what do I want? And what can I do to make that happen?
Very nice.
And just appreciating it for being there, for coming up to be able to give me that opportunity to move forward. And I've just had, it's been a really huge shift because I've had a lot of experiences, and one of the things that I've always looked at my entire life that any of the stuff that's happened You know, like how you were saying that you had the experiences with all the worst-case scenarios with all the technical stuff. With me, it was just all these life experiences that I've always looked at them as, well, the more life experiences I go through, the more I can help people through them.
Exactly.
The more I can help them see a different perspective.
Right. Right. Yeah, the total, you know, there are a lot of things where I can go with what not to do and still kind of live in that whole rental property issue. I don't even know if I shared it, but I don't see the lesson or the blessing yet, but I'm sure it's going to be clear at some point. But we don't have time to get into the the details of the rental property from hell. But needless to say, it was not a good investment, and I can't unload it. There's a tenant in there finally, but for almost a year it was vacant. And because it was vacant, I had to pay higher insurance, hazard insurance on it, on top of paying that mortgage and my residential mortgage, and it kept getting broken into. And it was just, I was like, what in the world is the lesson here? I'm sure it'll become clear. I know I used to be freaked out about money even more so 10 years ago, and I probably would have made myself sick maybe 10 years ago. So maybe it's showing me that I can cope with these financial dips and such better than I could a decade ago. It's not clear to me, but I know I have to trust that there is a lesson in there, and if somebody is going to try and buy rental property in certain areas, I might advise them where not to go.
I was going to say, I'm sure that it has given you the opportunity to really hone in on, if you bought another rental property, what you would want, what you definitely want to make sure you looked for.
Exactly. So I was like young and dumb when we bought it, and then now I can't even unload the things. That's the one where I'm like trying to bounce back from, because that one was painful, because I went from making income from it, you know, from the rental, you know, from somebody being in there, but to having it dig into. I have missed being able to save big chunks of money because it was going to that property each month on top of the higher hazard insurance, and if people keep breaking into it, I have to, you know, keep doing the repairs. So it was just one thing after the next, and I'm like, okay then, there is a lesson here, and I'm going to keep going with my life and try and build my business. It's all good, even though the property's in Florida and I can't really see what's going on and I have to rely on the property manager, but I just keep telling myself there's a lesson in this, and we just keep going. And I can probably list a number of, you know, business things that just didn't work out the way I had planned it, but again, you get back on the horse, keep getting back on the horse, and see what happens as we go along. So,
I've got to say also, even with all of it, yeah, sure, there's the practices, there's the stuff that we all do, and I am perfectly willing to admit, and I'm sure that anyone else on this call has probably had these days also, where there are days where you just throw up your hands and you just deal with it in the terms of you just have an ugly cry, or you just get frustrated and you just, you know, let it happen and feel the emotion, and then, you know, let it all out and then go on from there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay, too, because, you know, sometimes it's not all about just, you know, how do you get through it. Sometimes it's just feeling it and letting it be.
Oh, yes, I couldn't agree more with that. Oh, yeah, and I have to say, as long as my health is not compromised, I have, you know, that's the thing. It's like, if I'm not losing sleep and my health is fine, I'm, you know, the ugly cry, that so works for me. Like Oprah would say, oh, here comes the ugly cry. I can do that. I can do that. I can journal. I can rant in my journal. Because usually when I journal, it's a gratitude thing. But every now and then, I journal. I don't think I want to share it with anybody. Because it's just like, oh, that's not mature. Here comes the teenager again.
And the thing is nowadays that you could, I don't know if you ever heard this expression, but turn that pain into your gain. Which is, you could talk about it, just like you're talking about it here, but share that experience with somebody else and what are the lessons to be learned, and people really appreciate that so that they don't have to go through the same thing you did, you know, and create an ebook or discussion on that whole thing. And, you know, I think that a lot of people miss out on that opportunity, right, to take that pain and make it into a gain simply by documenting the process and helping someone avoid that same experience that you just went through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's very, that's the whole concept of the blog and all this other stuff now that we're talking about, which is, you know, what we're going to talk about, the society that we live in, is sharing this information to the world, you know? And what do they have? The expression is in the lands of the blind, the one-eyed person is God, right?
Yeah, a king or queen is what I had heard. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you've already gone through more than the majority of the people have experienced. So, I mean, you have that under your belt, and you should be able to, you know, capitalize on it somehow.
Exactly.
You know, there's always a silver lining.
Always, always, always. Exactly. So, you know, to recap, you know, we're feeling how we feel, and I'm making no apologies for it, but like I said, you want to make sure that, and again, if you're not feeling it, then it will manifest itself in your health somehow. You probably might lose sleep, or you might get sick, you might manifest some kind of illness. I've been there too. So the ugly, what's funny, when Lena mentioned the ugly cry, I was, oh yeah, the tears have poured fast and furious, and you know, I'll just sometimes have to go in the bathroom, turn on the fan so nobody's hearing how obnoxious the cry is, you know. So they'll come out, you know, all shiny and new or whatever, cleansed with the tears. I'm losing 5 pounds in tears afterwards. But I guess to wrap up, and even though I'm going to have you on the show next week, Joseline, why don't you just tell folks, so, you know, people listening to the archive, and of course we'll talk some more again next week, but just tell folks what you do too. I had Lena do that when I had her on the call earlier. So, just give a shout out your website and what you do, right quick, and then I'm gonna wrap this up.
Okay, I have a company, it's a consulting company called Live Bell Consulting, which stands for Life Is to Be Lived. The premise is do what you do best, outsource the rest, and it's really helping corporations, companies leverage technology to grow their business. And I really am a strong believer of, do what you do best and outsource the rest. And that's why I'm a strong believer in things like COBE and knowing what you're best at. What am I best at is understanding all this technology and wrapping technology with marketing, right? So knowing the right tools to use to streamline your process so you could grow more systematically in any type of conditions. So that is it in a nutshell, and we'll go into more details next week. And,
Very nice. And what you just shared is kind of going back to the things that we talked about. We had talked about fears at first. You came a little late, and I think you came in when we were talking about our support system, which also can include the technology. But yeah, doing what you do best and leveraging and outsourcing the rest. Oh my gosh, I am such a proponent of that. That's my support system area too. We also talked about the time issue and managing your energy, and again, that ties into doing what you do best and managing your energy. We talked about a belief system, and we shared openly, and I really appreciate that. And we also talked about how we deal with, setbacks and curveballs. And you guys have been fabulous. Like I said, the perfect people will show up, and you did. I appreciate it, too. So what I'm going to do now is wrap things up and thank both of you for coming. Any parting words, either of you, before I say goodnight or good evening or good day, wherever you are?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks. It was great. I think it's great to give people perspectives from, from different areas, from different thoughts on how it goes, and see how it's really all so similar.
No kidding. Yeah, there's a lot that we kind of resonated on, all on the same page, I noticed too, though.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And even from the sheer fact that you were prepared to have the dial number, I think that's a beautiful thing, right? I mean,
my backup plan.
You could have gone awry, and you could have just got completely frustrated and canceled it, but then there it is, an alternative, a plan B, because of your experiences. Maybe it happened before or whatever the case. But as long as we as individuals just keep learning, and improving, I think that's the essence of life, right?
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Well, Lena and Joseline and everybody in the chat, I want to thank you all for showing up the way you do, and keep playing big and living that life of your dreams and working through all the cool things and even the not-so-cool things and using those tools as you see fit as you go along. I know you will. Thanks, everybody. And
okay.
All right. Well, we'll tune in next week. We'll have Host Lee next week talking, and hopefully we'll have some of the same people show up, and it's all good. So have a wonderful, wonderful week, guys. And we'll see you next week or on Twitter. Okay? Bye-bye.
Fantastic.
Bye. Bye-bye.